Today's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19, and can be found on page 861 in the Pew Bibles. That's page 861. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Amen.
Right, you need to have your Bibles open at 1 Peter chapter 4. As we work our way through these three verses, 16, actually through to 19. It's great being in church, isn't it? And church family life. I actually do love it. You know, the ladies of our fellowship met on Thursday night at a spring party, whatever that meant. And I believe had a really lovely evening. And then, of course, there was the Irish evening last night. Lots of good food and good fun and a real buzz about the place. And all of that. And then we come on Sunday morning, and here we are, singing the praises of God. And my subject this morning is the good news about the judgment of God. And I had a late night last night, and so I could say I was pretty weary. And am I looking forward to teaching on the justice of God as good news? Well, yes, I am. But you can pray for me as I do it, and pray for yourself as we do it, that we get the tone right, the balance right, and we go with it. All right? All up for it? The good news of God's judgment, or justice, if you like. Peter ends his teaching in this chapter about followers of Jesus being faithful under hostile pressure, under a surprising note. Peter says that the justice of God is good news for suffering believers. Followers of Jesus, who bear the name of Jesus, say that Jesus is Lord, say that Jesus is our Lord, even though they come under pressure for that lordship. And you may know what that feels like if you've tried to be a faithful Christian in your life context or in this cultural time. Jesus then is the believing badge of honor that we bear. But let's be honest this morning and say it in love, that as far as the unbelieving world is concerned, Jesus is no badge of honor. They're not wearing the t-shirt that underlines how great Jesus is. The world hates Jesus. Yes, the world may be civilized and nice, and the world may say, yes, we have some respect for Jesus. But then when we witness concerning Jesus and the importance of knowing Jesus personally and having him as our Lord and Savior, suddenly the nicest of people don't want to know. The world hates Jesus. Well, Peter is speaking to the family of God, as he says in verse 16. And he wants us to know that there is no shame when we suffer for following Jesus. There is no shame. Actually, as far as God says injustice over us, it is entirely right. And therefore, because God sees it as something right for us, we can praise God and worship Him. Now, of course, it is entirely unjust that the world should treat us in this way, and God would, of course, say so. And we know that He says so. So in the sense that it is entirely right for us to suffer in this way, because we're following Jesus and we're suffering as a Christian, and we also know in God's justice that it is entirely wrong for the world to treat us like this. That is massively freeing. That's good news for us. Now, we may not be in a position to receive that truth this morning. We live in a time that dislikes the idea of God's justice. We live in a time that has put the justice of God under the category of hate, religious hate, and not under love. Now, sometimes we may act in what we perceive to be a way of justice, and we're actually just getting revenge, and so that's not a right thing, is it? But God is the perfect God. He is entirely righteous, and therefore when He proclaims injustice, He is doing so in love. Because you have to say this, and we need to get it clear in our heads this morning, that it's only sinners who think God's judgment or justice is bad. It is only sinners. People who don't want to be held accountable for doing or believing wrong, and that being pointed out. A father who loves his children will hold them accountable for doing wrong, won't he? It's an act of love, imperfect as it may well be, but it is an act of love for the father to do this, because the father has the child's best interests at heart. He wants the child to flourish in living right and not living wrong. So come with me. True example, though I won't specify when it was. There I stand before my earthly father, and I have done wrong, and I know I have done wrong, and I know that he has every right to justly speak into the wrong that I have done. But there is something deep inside me that doesn't like it one bit. I'm not going to admit my wrong, so I oppose the justice that is lovingly, though firmly, coming my way. Can you identify with this? Oh, I think you can. I make my excuses. I self-justify. I blame my brothers if I can. I blame my father's imperfections. I tell him that he's unloving and that he hates me, and that it's all unfair, and his authority is just downright horrible. Now, that might have been true because my father is a sinner, but often it was not. And on the occasions that I have in my head, that was not the case. What was going on the inside was, justice was bad news for sinful little boys that didn't want to be held accountable. That is the natural heart of each one of us with regard to God. And we better be honest about it, I think. So two things this morning, very briefly. I mean it. How is God's justice good news for us then? We were reminded last Sunday, and I just want to remind you again this Sunday, that if we are children of God, there is no condemnation over our lives. Through Jesus, the justice of God has been satisfied, and we are no longer under God's judgment at all. In fact, God is our loving Heavenly Father. Listen to the verses in 1 Peter chapter 2 again, and verses 24 onwards. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sins and live for the righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Or chapter 3, verse 18, Peter making a similar point. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So let's be clear that if we are God's children this morning, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are declared right with God forever. The condemnation has gone. Jesus has borne the punishment, and we are, the guilty people, gone free forever. That's good news, isn't it? Yes, it is. The justice of God came into our lives and showed us our sin and said that God said it was wrong, and therefore the cross of Jesus became a very wonderful place, a wonderful act, an amazing grace. And we, many of us, have been to that cross by faith, trusting in the good news message concerning Jesus and that cross, and today there is no condemnation. The judgment has gone forever. And yet, my friends, Peter says that judgment must begin with the family of God. So what's going on here? Well, maybe just a couple of things, just to unpack that a little bit. When we choose to follow Jesus and come under suffering from a hostile culture, then let us know that that suffering contains no judgment of God in that kind of condemnatory reality. There is no condemnation on us. We are not being judged in that sense. And therefore, when we understand that, it is so strengthening to us in order to do right and continue to do right. Our conscience is clear. We can stand firm. Of course, what the world is doing and saying is unfair. It is unjust. The world is attacking Jesus, really, not just us. But it means that we can entrust ourselves to God who judges justly, and we can get on with doing good. This is what Jesus did on the cross himself. 1 Peter chapter 2. Awesome verses, really. Here we go. When I find them, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. On the cross, as hard as it was for Jesus, awesomely, he entrusted himself justly to the one who judges justly. And if Jesus had to do that on the cross in order to die for you and me, then we have to do it in order to live for him. Now, that's very important, isn't it? We entrust ourselves to our Creator God, and we continue to do good because we know there is no condemnatory judgment in the suffering that we're undergoing. Yet at the same time, if you're like me, when you come under pressure, I don't know what you're like when you come under pressure. You know, I've become an entirely different person. You know, I'm really a nice guy and, you know, really placid and a great guy to be around until I come under pressure. And then the whole thing just goes a bit strange. What's happening? Well, particularly when I come under unjust suffering, I get a bit angry. Now, some of that might be righteous anger, I accept. But actually, some of it's just downright sinful anger, isn't it? You see this not just in that way, but maybe you're travelling on the road and somebody cuts you up and suddenly there's this road rage erupts inside you. What's going on? Well, you may have every justification to be very angry about that arrogant person who's just cut you up, and I understand that. But actually, it's also your sinful nature that's coming out, isn't it? Which needs to be refined and defeated in your life as well as mine. So when we come under pressure for following Jesus, and sometimes our sinful nature emerges from within ourselves, and we don't like what we're seeing and feeling, then know this, my friends, that the justice of God, in its love, is helping us change. Maybe one illustration, and may help us. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, and chapter 12, we have the story of King David and his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. One night, King David was up on the roof of his house. He was a righteous man, already married, of course, and he watches a married woman called Bathsheba having a bath. And he likes the look of what he sees, and he strongly desires her, and now she's the only woman in the world for him. The only woman in the world for him. He already has a wife, but she's not good enough. He must have her. So he sends for her, doesn't he? He desires her. Now she's married. She's married to Uriah, but he's hundreds of miles away, so that's rather convenient, isn't it? This is an opportunity that he could step into. Because Uriah's not there. He can't do anything about it. Maybe she feels lonely and vulnerable. It's his opportunity. It's his opportunity to sin. So he sends for her. And there is a sexual sin committed that night between himself and Bathsheba. They may have rationalized it, mightn't they? They may have said to each other, well, this is just way too big for each of us, isn't it? It just feels so right. We're so compatible, you know. Maybe David could have said, well, God sent me to get you. And they could have both said, well, Uriah's hundreds of miles away. Nobody will know. And so sin is committed. But worse, of course, Bathsheba becomes pregnant, as you know. And Uriah is called home in order to go to bed with his wife, to make it look as if the child is his. But Uriah won't go to bed with her. And so David decides that on the battlefield, there is an arrangement made that he will be killed. He will be murdered by David, even if David doesn't actually do the deed. All's covered up. Got away with it. Nobody saw it. The end of the chapter 11 tells us, but the thing David had done had displeased the Lord. And Nathan the prophet is sent in chapter 12. And he tells David a story of great injustice. A rich man with plenty of property and plenty of animals steals the one lamb from the poor man, kills it, and feeds his visitors with it. David is angry about that. You can hear the justice fizzing out of his heart. How dare that happen? That is so wrong. This is hypocrisy, isn't it? Total hypocrisy. Because David is the man, isn't he? In the story. And the justice of God, though it was sore and extremely painful, hear me, didn't say, okay, David, I'll let you sin. and I'll let you get away with it. Isn't that good news for us today? You look a bit scared, I think. Conan Doyle, the writer of Sherlock Holmes, sent a spoof letter to 12 people, his friends. You've been found out. 6 of them left the country. So it is scary. Let's acknowledge it. It's a bit scary this morning. That's where the judgment of God really gets right underneath us, doesn't it? Because we know what we're like. But it's good news. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us in Jesus, who took away the judgment, says in justice, I'm not a letting you away with your sin. It's good news for us, isn't it? Come back to my Father, coming and holding me accountable. It was good that he did so. I learned some lessons that day that I actually haven't repeated since. Well, as far as I know. And so David had to seek after God. He writes Psalm 51 on the basis of it. Many of us have read Psalm 51 with great encouragement to our lives when we have sinned and we know that we have sinned and God has faced us justly with our sins in love and we've cried out for forgiveness and restoration and God in his mercy has come to us and restored us. Many of us can testify to that, can't we, this morning? And aren't we glad for that? That the God who loves us said to us, I have to face you with your particular sins. Father, keep facing us with those things. But what about Uriah? Let me stop with that for a moment. Uriah didn't get justice, did he? Wound up dead on a battlefield. David couldn't put that right. He could say sorry to Bathsheba. He could submit himself to God and the disciplines of God in his life. And yes, I think all of that did play out in his life. But he couldn't say anything to Uriah, could he? And they didn't care a stuff about Uriah several hundred miles away when they were having their emotional, sexual time together. When Jesus returns, my friends, I'm not founding a doctrine on this, but I want you to hear it with me. The justice of God will create a perfect world of righteousness and peace. Good news. No injustice. And every wrong will be put right. Hitler will be held accountable for all that he did. He will not escape justice by taking his own life. But can you imagine? Just imagine it with me. Pretend it is going to happen. I don't know if it will. David and Uriah get raised. Now there's a moment to put something right, isn't there? It's good news, isn't it? Judgment is bad news for sinners. It's good news for the people of God. David can look at Uriah in the face and say, I got it wrong. And Uriah will know that he was unjustly treated on a battlefield for a man covering up his sin with his wife. You're looking a bit serious now, don't you? No jokes this morning, though. This is way too important. And I give it to you in love, actually. Around about 2:30 this morning, I couldn't sleep, so I was way too full of buzz from the Irish evening. I blame the Irish. Who brought them in here? And at 2:30, I got up, and I was deeply concerned about preaching this right this morning. And so one had to get just before the Lord and say, Lord, please help us do it in love. It's good news, the justice of God, for the people of God. But secondly, and very briefly, it's bad news for sinners. Peter says so, if you go back to 1 Peter. He says, of course, yes, this judgment that begins with the house of God, it's no condemnation in it. But what will be the outcome from those who disobey or do not obey the gospel of God? If the righteous are saved with difficulty through suffering, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? My dear friends, maybe you're a visitor this morning and you have many problems in your life, and I'm just going to make it worse. It is bad news for you concerning the justice of God, because you're not ready to face the justice of God, you see. You're a sinner and you're disobeying a good news message, a good news report, that God acted outside Jerusalem in the person of his Son in order that you, a sinner, and I, a sinner, could be declared right with God forever on the basis not of good works or moral achievement, but of Jesus, on one side taking the punishment for our sin and on the other side gifting us a perfect obedience before God. The judgment of God is bad news for you today if you are not yet a person who has obeyed that good news and trusted in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. But hey, here's the good news. If this truth this morning faces you with the bad news of your condition before God, and you reach out this morning in faith, just by simple trust, to the Lord Jesus, he will save you. He will declare you right and ready for the ultimate judgment day. In that sense, the bad news become good news. In the book of Romans, Paul is setting out, firstly, just how wrong we are before God in the first few chapters. And then he shows us that God has acted to deal with our sin righteously, in order that we might be right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him. And then he concludes in chapter 1, verse 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Good news. Maybe this morning you'll walk towards Christ in faith, and he will receive you and give you a very precious gift, because your greatest problem is not your broken relationship, your emotional disturbances. Those things are very real to you, and I don't want to minimize them. It's that you are to face the justice of God, and without Christ, you have not got a single hope. But with Christ, the verdict is in. You're right forever. And as followers of Jesus, when we experience being wrongly treated because we're following Jesus, no, we've not made sinful choices here. It's because we're following Jesus as our Lord, and the world is treating us badly, and it seems as if it's getting away with it, and we say, unfair. We must remember the final outcome of those who disobey the gospel. This is not a bad and horrible thing to do. This is a very necessary thing to do. Because we know that as the world hates Jesus and ill-treats us, it is because they are being disobedient to a good news message that would save them.